T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This will be his first game in the playoffs, so it'll be a lot of our players' first game in the playoffs. So another opportunity to grow as a football team, in this case for Josh and for us as a team. And like I said, you've got to earn it. These wins in the playoffs don't come easy, and we've got to focus on the process this week, getting in and having a good week of preparation, focus week of preparation.
We're in the playoffs again. This is a little bit different from 2017, where we're, you know, limping in and a little bit of luck. We're excited. We're excited for this opportunity. With Houston, we know that now, so we can, you know, dial in and get to work. Speed goes up a notch. Intensity goes up a notch. Detail goes up a notch. There's a different level. Playoff football is a little bit different. A lot of guys are excited in this locker room to be a part of it. I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
Be ready for whatever they throw at us on Sunday or Saturday. Whatever day we play, we'll find out here pretty shortly. So it's just one of those games. It's anything can happen. We're in the dance. We know that. We understand that. And we got to go out there and try to execute.
All right, we heard there from head coach Sean McDermott, safety Micah Hyde, and quarterback Josh Allen. It's playoff time. Here we go. Regular season is over. Football season has come to a close as far as most teams in the league, but not the Buffalo Bills. They are playing next week, wild card weekend, Saturday, 4:30 p.m. at the Houston Texans. I guess 4:35. To be exact, going by the NFL schedule. And we're here to talk about it. Also, what happened yesterday. And any thoughts, comments, opinions you have on the Bills as they roll into the 2019 postseason and the new year, 2020. My name is Sal Capaccio. Glad to be with you on an Extra Point show here that is not the final Extra Point show of the season. I'll be here after the last game, no matter when that is. The Bills end their season next week. I'll be here on Monday. If they end their season in 2 weeks, I'll be here the following Monday. If they make a run all the way to South Florida, I'll be here after that. So it's good to be back with you. It's good to have the Extra Point show on because that means we're still playing football, or at least we had another football game. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Today, it's kind of a bit of a weird Extra Point show because we're really not even looking back at yesterday. There are some things we have to get to about yesterday, injuries, some guys who played that don't normally. I'm sure we'll get those calls. But really, it's more about the focus of this week. It's the focus of going into the postseason, playing the Houston Texans. It's about looking back at the entire picture of 2019 and what the Bills might be able to do in the postseason based on what they have or haven't done throughout the regular season. There's a lot to talk to in all of that regard. So whatever's on your mind, I can do that. And that's at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. And obviously, as we do every single Monday here on the Extra Point Show, I will not have guests or interviews. I just take phone calls from you. So I need you to call up right now. I got a few open phone lines. I'm looking right now. Only two lines are lit up. That means I got open phone lines right now for you. If you get in, you'll get on and you'll get heard. We'll look around the league. We'll break down the playoff picture for you, both conferences. It just stunk that we had to wait until the entire Sunday was complete, including last night's Sunday night game, to find out what time the Bills were playing. And from what I understand from people I know in the broadcast departments around the league and things like that, it really was because the Patriots lost. That's really why the NFL kind of had to hold off on the scheduling, because suddenly the Patriots losing and the Chiefs winning put the Patriots on next week instead of having a bye, and the league wanted them in prime time. So they just had to figure out if they were putting them Saturday or Sunday, and as it turns out, they put both AFC games on Saturday, which is only the second time it's happened, I believe, since this, you know, this format of the way the playoffs are. It's only the second time you've had both conference games on the same day. It's usually AFC-NFC on one day, AFC-NFC on the next day. But because the Patriots are the Patriots, and they got to be put in prime time, well, that's what the league did. They put them on Saturday night, which puts the Bills on Saturday afternoon against the Texans. And that means the Bills and the Texans kick off the postseason. They are the very first game of the postseason. The Bills and Texans will be the first game of 2020 in the NFL. That's pretty cool in its own right. 803-0550. A lot to talk about, a lot to get to. It is a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be here with you until noon. After that, we have One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker down there. They'll break down everything from yesterday and look ahead to the week as well. We have Micah Hyde at 4 p.m. with Shope and the Bulldog, which begin at 3 p.m. I believe it's only Shope. I think Bulldog may still be out on vacation. But either way, Shope and the Bulldog begins at 3. They'll go till 7 o'clock tonight. Micah Hyde joins them at 4 o'clock, and I'll be down at the stadium also at 4 o'clock today because that's when Sean McDermott will speak to the media. That's when Brian Daboll will speak right after. That's when Leslie Frazier will speak right after. That's when we'll get updates on injuries to guys such as Levi Wallace, Ty Nsekhe. That's really, I mean, the other guys pretty much came back. Cody Ford, Saran Neal, Taron Johnson. He didn't play, but I think he was cleared to come back, or at least he was ready to come back. It looked like there was no official injuries designation, so I think he was fine. But obviously, Wallace and Nsekhe will be the ones to monitor this week, and we'll get updates from Sean McDermott. Also, the Bills' schedule is out for the week as far as practice, and they will be practicing and having media availability every day this week until Friday when the team travels to Houston. So that's pretty much every day. Normally, Tuesdays are off, and then even this week with Wednesday being New Year's Day, there is practice, there's media availability as far as players and speaking in the locker room at least. So every day we'll have something for you as far as covering the Bills this week, which means I'll be working every day this week and headed down to the stadium. I'd love it, though. I don't mind. I'd rather be doing that than covering locker cleanout day today and covering head coaching changes and GM changes and firings. John Simon's with me today. And, John, I have an idea here. If you what we should do is we should have some sort of sounder if there's another firing. Like, if you read somewhere there's a firing,
ooh,
right? Because we've had a few so far.
All right, yeah.
A few reported. If you read that there's another one reported, I don't know. Maybe we can do like a, is there a dun-dun-dun type of music or something? I don't know. I'm not trying to make light.
Something.
I mean, these guys, they have families, they're losing their jobs, but we got to have something that signifies another coach or another GM went down.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. I think whoever gets fired, I think they'll land on their feet just fine.
They probably, in most cases, that is correct. Now, Jason Garrett doesn't have a contract for next year, so that wouldn't be a firing if he's not brought back.
Yeah, it's
but
just,
that would still be, if you hear that he's not going to be brought back, I think that would qualify. But if you do read something from Adam Schefter, or Ian Rappaport, or someone like that, Jay Glazer, signal a sounder, and then I'll let you tell everybody what's going on.
All
because
right.
Today is Black Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And we have already seen. What have we seen so far? Kitchens got fired last night before they even basically took off, I think.
Shermer.
Did they even let Kitchens on the plane ride back home?
I don't know. The articles about it came out right before 7 o'clock, so it's pretty darn close.
All right, well, it's close enough. The game ended at 4. They were probably home by then. He probably got off the plane on the tarmac, and they said, hey, by the way, thanks for all you've done. We're moving in another direction. Shermer today.
Yep, earlier this morning.
We know that the
Bruce Allen, not a head coach, but
10 years as the president of football ops.
Right.
I think that's his title, in Washington. He's gone. The word is Ron Rivera is going to get that job. That's almost done.
Yeah.
Right? That's the word there.
The head coaching job, right? Not,
yes.
Not president of – he's not replacing –
I'm sorry. You're right. Head
coaching
job.
I just wanted to make sure that I had it right because
no,
when I
right,
do the update
right.
at 11, if I get that wrong,
if they
that's
even have a president, maybe Dan Snyder just decides to do it himself. He'll be like Jerry Jones then, right? I don't know.
That's
that could be the case.
Success.
I think that's the only ones we know so far. I mean, obviously, Carolina had fired Rivera earlier, so that there is an opening there. But you'll be on that, and we'll know about that. So if you hear
still
anything,
still waiting on Doug Marrone too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think that's the big
Russini
one.
Russini had that, and then there was a conflicting report.
Yeah,
Diana said that he was told he's going to get fired, and then there was another report that came out that said no, that's not the case. He hasn't been told anything yet. I can't imagine he's kept. I can't imagine the Cowboys go back to Garrett. That's got to be one there. And Shermer, he's fired, but I read Matt Rhule from Baylor has the inside track on that job. Now, Matt Rhule last year would have been hired by the Jets, but from what I was told, he basically did not like the situation as far as what they were telling him as far as assistants, that he had to keep some guys or didn't have full autonomy to hire whoever he wanted, so he never took the job. He said no to them. So if the Giants do give him the job, that would be interesting, and Gettleman is still there with the Giants, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
That is nothing on that. All right, so enough on all those guys, but John will keep us updated if anything happens on that front as far as firings around the NFL. So let me just start with this. Right here, where we are in this moment. Because there's no more waiting. There's no more wondering. There's no more hoping. The Bills are about to play in a playoff game, folks. And that's all that should matter to anyone. Not what happened Sunday outside of a couple injuries and concerns we have. We'll get to those later. We'll know more about them. The season started with a come-from-behind win over the Jets in week one. Remember that one? John Brown, back shoulder, catches it, gets in the end zone. Then the Bills got to 3-0. And then they fell to the Patriots for their first loss. But even at that point, at 3-1, from that moment on, the minute they lost to the Patriots, they were in the fifth seed, the very first wildcard team in the AFC all year long. That's, if you looked at the standings all year, they never moved from the fifth seed, which is amazing. So, as much as this season may have been unexpected for many people, and it was, I mean, the Vegas over-under win total for the Bills this year was 6.5 or 7. As much as that's the case, it's actually been right on track for the last 4 months as far as where it was, where it started, and where it ended up. And the Bills won 10 games for the first time since 1999. They're going to the playoffs for only the second time since then. And they're playing a team they've been on a collision course with for the last several weeks. We all saw this coming, right? On Monday, today, 20 teams are going to be having locker cleanout day. They're going to be starting their preparation for free agency in the draft. Maybe even hiring a new head coach or general manager. They're at least going to be searching for one. We've been down that road. We've covered it. I've been there. I've been covering this team in a professional capacity for 7 years. I'm on my fourth head coach covering it. I'm glad that that's not the Bills today. No, 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 no. Bills coaches and players, they're going to begin preparation, or even I should say continue it, for the postseason and the Houston Texans. They'll start putting in a game plan to stop Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and maybe even J.J. Watt. We'll see his status as it goes forward this week. But here's the best thing. Let's remember this, okay? Let's think about all the weeks past. Let's think about the way people talked about the Bills, the season as it was unfolding, the debates we had in here, the phone calls we had, the national perspective, all of that. See, now at this point, right now, as I sit here at 10:13 a.m. on Monday morning, the day after the regular season ended, it doesn't matter what the Bills' strength of schedule was. It doesn't matter how many winning teams they beat. It doesn't matter how good anyone thinks they are or they aren't. You know what matters? They're playing next weekend. They are one of 12 teams with a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's all that matters. And that's why we're here today. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Okay, so I figured this would happen. I have 4 phone calls lit up already, and 2 of them have the word Duke Williams in the comment section on what people want to talk about. So let's get them out of the way, and let's go first to Mike in South Carolina, who has a Duke Williams question to start us off. What's up, buddy?
All right, thanks, Hal. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm glad I got in early. I knew there'd be about 20 questions.
There is every week, and this will be no different. Go ahead.
Correct. Man, I think he's made his case that he needs to be on the active roster. He made some real good plays. I mean, biggest thing, he got separation. He was open. And outside of a stinker drop ball on, I believe it was a third down, he played great. I don't think you can make the argument anymore for Robert Foster being on the active roster. I kind of know both sides of this, but, you know.
Yeah, the 2 arguments you could make, and I'm not making them, I think you make valid points as well. So, but I will at least throw out there what the arguments would be for Foster. Number one, he does offer you an element of speed that you want in your offense that they might not have otherwise. I know they have John Brown, but you could actually have somebody opposite of him also taking the top off. And the other argument would be, and I think this is valid as much as people hate hearing it, you know, Robert Foster is a gunner who does play on special teams and does help out, whereas Duke Williams really doesn't do that. And you do have to crunch the numbers there around the roster as far as having those types of players available. And I think that would be the argument. I'm not making it. I'm just saying I think that's where the argument would be.
Sure. And my rebuttal to that is, I mean, we've seen squat out of Foster all year, even with everything that you just said.
Yep.
What has he got, 6 receptions on the year? And special teams, I mean, I don't want to devalue special teams, but he still's not even making any splash plays on special teams. I mean, it's not like, wow, there's right. Foster.
Yeah, I get you. I hear you, man. I think it's an interesting case. And here's the thing, Mike. I wouldn't be surprised if Duke is active next week. I wouldn't. I think he made a case for himself yesterday.
And Sal, answer me one thing real quick. Why is it taking so long? I mean, he's been productive. The only thing that I can come up with, he was celebrating after every catch yesterday in the Jets game, where at least it felt that way.
Well, I think he was excited, but you know what? I will say he should not have taken as long as he did the one time. It did cost them. You know, that is something even Eric said it on the broadcast. He said, you know, you got to make sure you get back in the huddle, and it's nice to feel good about yourself. But, you know, I don't think there's any issue with his attitude at all, if that you're alluding to, Mike. But you have to remember, the coaches are with these guys every single day. And they just feel maybe that he needs to develop maybe in some areas that we're not aware of because we're not there every day. I watch practice, but I have to leave like the rest of the media after stretching and warm-ups, basically.
Yeah.
So that would be the only thing I could come up with on that. I don't think there's an issue with his attitude. If there was, he wouldn't be around. Thanks for the call. Good call. Dan in Tampa. Hey, Dan, you're on WGR. You have a Duke Williams question as well, right?
Hey, Sal the man. So, by the way, Happy New Year to you, a little early.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, I won't be on until after the New Year, so thank you, and Happy New Year to you as well.
You too, buddy. You know, you're my favorite. I always tell you that. You know, my thing with Duke is that, you know, yes, both points that you just made to the previous caller makes complete sense. But the thing is, I think McKenzie could be just as well as a gunner. And so he is such a versatile player. And as far as a receiver, I mean, McKenzie is so much more valuable. And it's not like we're saying Duke Williams needs to be like the second receiver. We're talking about the fourth. You know, so yeah. I don't get why we wouldn't want him, along with Dawson Knox, to be those, you know, big guys that can actually jump up 12 feet and be able to catch the ball. And so I know he had a couple of drops, and I didn't like him either, but he also had some really great plays too. And so my point is simply that, you know, why not give him a shot? It's not going to hurt you. I mean, like, if we don't win, we don't win. And, you know, we're really going to rely on our defense because their defense is 28th in the NFL, and their offense is, they're better than us, but I think our defense can handle it. So I really believe that we're going to manage their pass offense, and I think that our run offense is going to manage their run defense if you look at just basically what they've done all year long. So
yeah, looking at Houston, you mean? Yeah, as far as the matchup?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, their numbers on defense are not good, right? I think that this game, Dan, comes down to, and this is going to sound like a broken record. We've all said this many times. As long as the Bills can take care of the football, I think they have a great shot. But, you know, you can't give them free opportunities. You can't give them a free field goal even, let alone a free touchdown, because, you know, that's when you get in trouble. But because their defense, I think, will allow the Bills to have some opportunities, they can't give those opportunities back away for free, you know?
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I'm not in that Bills camp that, oh, we're going to win this game. I'm just saying that we've got a really good shot to be winning this game.
Yeah, Vegas thinks so too, Dan. It's only a 3-point game. That's what you give the home team. I mean, they're calling it an even game. So you're right about that. Good call, 803-0550. Good start on the Extra Point Show. I got open phone lines now. 803-0550, 888-552-550. Paul is in Kenmore. Paul, you're on the Extra Point Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Even if I wanted to talk about Duke Williams, I was afraid to tell the screener about it. So
I get you. That's all right. We're going to get plenty of those today, but hopefully, you know what happens is people come along every 10, 15 minutes in their car. They're like, oh, I got a call about Duke Williams because they didn't hear the previous 10 people who did.
Hey, Sal, you guys were just talking about their defense, break 28th. I haven't really paid much attention to Houston. Where do they struggle mostly? Is it through the pass game, to the run game? Because I think this is a game where our offense can – put 28 points on the board, and, you know, with the way our defense is playing, you know, maybe a 28-17 game.
28's a lot. The Bills don't score that many points that much. I think they've only had that outside of the Miami games. They only did that once, right? That was against the Giants in week 2.
And that's where I'm saying with the lack of their defense, maybe we can exploit that, and because we do have the talent to put the points on the board.
I mean, yeah, I think 28's a lot to ask of this offense, even that being said. I think if you can get 23, 24, you know, that might be a nice range to win this game. Because if the Bills' defense gives up more than that, I'd be disappointed after the season they've had. Look, I just did the final numbers, Paul, and the Bills' defense this year, 16.2 points a game. That's what they've allowed. That's number two in the league. And the Patriots, as they were on a historic level earlier, but the Patriots were just over 14. The Bills were just over 16. If the Bills gave up 23, 24 in this game, I think that would be a disappointment.
I agree with you. They were right there, Sal. But I still think at the end of the day, I think we're going to win 24-20, and then that's my prediction. Go.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Love it. 803-05. Hey, if anybody wants to predict, this is the only time we're here this week, right? That I'll be on with you. And by the way, I said earlier that Bulldog was on vacation. I meant Mike. Bulldog was on vacation, but he was on the post-game show yesterday. I know that. And Mike is off, so Bulldog's in. I'm sorry, but Bulldog will be here with you later on today. So my apologies on that. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Tom in Rochester. Hi, Tom. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Sal. This is more of a question than anything, because I admit that those coaches know a whole lot more about the wide receivers than we do. And I think most fans would look at Duke getting open and making, you know, way more catches than Robert Foster. And, you know, at our level, maybe it makes sense to play him. I'm wondering if Foster's value is stretching the field so that Brown and Beasley can get catches. So in other words, if Foster leaves, and this is a question, I don't have the answer. If Foster leaves and you put in Williams, does now that secondary get more compact over the middle and it makes it more difficult for Allen to connect with?
In theory, Tom, that is correct. However, he doesn't play enough for that to be actually happening, right? I mean, I'm going to look at his snap counts. I don't think he doesn't play enough on offense to say he's helping other guys get open, because, I mean, there's games where he plays maybe 3-4 snaps on offense. And so it doesn't. So, yes, in theory, as a defensive coordinator, if you think about conceptually how you defend the Bills, that would be the case. But if you're not using him in that role, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. I hear you. All right. Thanks, Sal. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much for the phone call. Got one here from Travis. Just texted me. Bills 20, Texans 17. We can do predictions today if you want. Go ahead. I'm not going to give you anything if you're right, or do anything to you if you're wrong. I will have mine on Saturday. You got to listen to the pregame show on the roundtable for that, pal. Mike in Buffalo. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
I don't have a question, but if I may opine for a moment.
You may.
I firmly believed in Sean McDermott's philosophy towards how this team should be coached and the direction that we should take. And, you know, the hungry, humble, and focused thing, if they can maintain that, if he can keep that in the locker room and bring it onto the field, I don't think Houston has a chance of beating us.
Well, that's great. Here's the thing. I love the way that this team goes about their business, which is in relation to what you're saying. I will say, though, that the other team on the other side, they're talented, they're good, they get paid, and they'll want it just as much. I mean, this is big boy sports. They're going to be ready to play.
Well, they certainly did not turn their team around in 3 years the way that our guys have done.
Well, did they have to? They've been in the playoffs mostly.
Well, yeah, okay.
Sure. Yeah, and by the way, they drafted a quarterback 3 years ago. They absolutely did. He's phenomenal. So yes, they didn't have to turn it around. They've been in the playoffs like five times since 2012, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
It's all right. I know you love your guy. I know you love what McDermott does, and that's great, and that's okay, and I appreciate the passion on that. But I don't think you should discount the Houston Texans in any regard, whether that's talent on the field or their desire to win, so to speak, right? I mean, it's going to come down to preparation, details, and then execution. That's what it always comes down to in the NFL, generally. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 here on WGR. It's the Extra Point Show. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's been a really nice winter so far, right? I mean, even going back when it wasn't actually winter, the winter season officially started last week, but here in December, it's been really nice. People have been outside. You've been doing things. Even if you're going to be inside, whatever it is, there's always a chance that you fall, you have an injury, one of your kids does, whether they're playing a sport or just outside playing around. And anytime that happens, you got to get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express because it's never been easier, quicker, or less expensive to get the care you need. That's because Excelsior Orthopedics Express has changed the way we all receive care to our bones, muscles, and joints as far as injuries. Also, it's a great place to go for an outstanding career. To learn more about exciting and rewarding careers with Excelsior Orthopedics or Buffalo Surgery Center, text ORTHO, that's O-R-T-H-O, to 550-550. Text and data rates apply. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is open weekdays and evenings, also Saturdays, and they're on Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Niagara Falls Boulevard near the airport, and also in the South Towns off Mile Strip near the 219 right in Orchard Park. Call 250-9999 to get the care you need at Excelsior Orthopedics Express. More on the Extra Point Show. Your phone calls coming up after this timeout.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They're making plays, and Matt did a great job today. He hit us. We got open, he hit us. It's great. I've been with both Josh and Matt since May of last year. So, I mean, yeah, we haven't not as much game time, but, you know, he's a great quarterback and he's got great feel. So it's just about getting open and he'll put it on you. That's what it's all about. You know, that's why you start the season off to, you know, win the last game, right? You know, we're here in the playoffs and, you know, learn some stuff today and get back next week and go get a win.
That's Bills tight end Tommy Sweeney. He had a nice game yesterday. I gave him an arrow up. If you check out my arrow up, arrow down column at WGR550.com, it was tough to do arrow up, arrow down because it was just like such a different game with all the different players out there. And the Bills didn't do a lot great. They did a few nice things. You know, they, I thought, played pretty good defense most of the day. Had struggles on offense. Couldn't score in the red zone. That's been an issue, actually, the second half of the year after being so good in the red zone. But Tommy Sweeney himself, five catches on five targets, 76 yards. Nice day for him. Hey, if you've been injured at work, don't do anything alone. Call Losi and Ganji. They work hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers just like you. When you're injured at work, your employer and their insurance company already have their attorneys working from them the day that you get injured. That's why you shouldn't do anything alone. You need the hardworking team at Losi and Ganji, and they're working hard for you and your family. They make sure you get the that you receive your weekly benefits and your medical treatments and also your settlement. Everything you get, they're going to make sure that you get it. Last year, everything you deserve, I should say, they're going to make sure you get it. Last year, Losi and Ganji obtained over $22 million for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Now, obviously, past results don't guarantee future outcomes, but you deserve a hardworking team working for you and your best interest. For workers' comp and personal injury, call Losi and Ganji, 854-1446, or go online, losi-ganji.com. Working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. All right, we're going to hit to the phone lines now. We got a whole bunch of people who want to talk about what happened yesterday and go forward to the playoffs. Mark in Jersey, what's going on?
How you doing, Sal?
Good.
Second playoff game as a sideline reporter. How does it feel?
It's going to feel awesome. First one was pretty cool. It was intense, and I expect nothing different this time around.
Awesome. I'm glad for you because that does good things for you. Also, Tommy Sweeney, I think that's the guy Bills fans should be looking at because I think he brings more to the table than a Tyler Croft. I don't know if they would sacrifice, you know, the glorified offensive tackle, Lee Smith, but I just think he brings more as a big target, a guy you could do a lot more things with than just Duke Williams because that's kind of low-hanging fruit for Bills fans. I would like to see him get the nod next week. He's going to be a part of this team in 2020, maybe going forward. I don't think the other guys, you know, are likely. Also, Sam Darnold, my God, that guy looked terrible against the Bills B team and just patchwork defense yesterday. Jets fans here are beside themselves about him right now. They are not happy.
Well, you know my theory on him. I just think he's caught in a organizational chaotic situation that is not conducive for him, and he hasn't progressed, and he may have regressed in some ways, but until he has a better organization around him, with a better head coach and better structure and not chaos, he'll be this guy. And once you get 3 years in or so to that, it's hard to recover from that, Mark. You know that, right?
Yeah, and it's not an easy situation here. I mean, just the whole situation here with the sports teams is bad. So I think Bills fans should be definitely happy. Most stable organization in New York football, Jersey football.
And look at Baker, for example, right? He's going to go on another head coach and offensive coordinator after this.
Yeah, that'll be his fourth.
It's amazing.
The media darlings of everybody going to the Super Bowl, and you know, people want to throw shade at McDermott. Just look around. Look around. I mean, it's not sexy. A lot of fundamentals, a lot of coach speak, but apparently it's working. 2 playoffs in 3 years.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. Enjoy the week. 803-0550, 888-550-2550 here on WGR. Anthony in Hamburg. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, Sal. A lot of people have been saying a lot of good things about McDermott, and I feel a lot of the same things. But the one thing I do have a problem with and it frustrates me is in-game philosophy. And I ultimately wonder if it's going to take us losing games for him to actually change it, or if he's...
Like, what specifically bothers you?
What bothers me is the fact that he relies so much on his defense to the point where he has his offense not want to make mistakes, and it works really well against teams that are not good offensively. But when you play against a good offensive team, and you got to hold them for a couple drives, it doesn't pan out. I look at like last week's game against the Patriots, they're up 17-13, and it just seemed like, and they've done it a lot throughout the season. They just kind of pull it back, they keep pulling it back, opposed to continuing to put the pressure on. And I think come playoff time, you're not going to. I mean, defensively, you need defense, but you need your offense to step up and make plays and win games.
Yeah, but I think that's the key, right? I mean, what you just said is right. You need the offense to step up and make plays. And if you don't have an offense that's stepping up and making plays, the alternative is you have to rely on your defense then to win games to make sure that they don't put you in harm's way.
But, Sal, is our offense not making plays because they're being held back to some extent?
I don't think so. I don't think they're talented enough. I think the quarterback is young and he's growing and he's still not completely developed, obviously, but, you know, he's not quite where you need him to be yet. He makes some great plays sometimes, but he leaves a lot of plays on the field. I think that they sometimes can struggle to pass block and protect against, you know, certain looks. And then I think the receivers, they still need, you know, they don't have guys that, you know, get a lot of separation one-on-one and, you know, can beat that coverage sometimes. So, I mean, and I hate talking like that. It sounds like I'm telling you all these different horrible things about the offense. But I do agree with you in this regard, Anthony, which is he is relying on his defense. But I think it's because that's the way the team is built, and that's his best way to get to a victory. If he went into more of games and said, "Oh, I'm gonna not rely as much on the defense and be more aggressive," I think the team would probably have more risk than they would reward.
Well, so I hope so. Like I hope that it is just basically the middle of this process, and it's like Roethlisberger at the beginning. He was throwing for 200 yards, and all of a sudden, when he got comfortable, they opened it up. But my concern is, he is a defensive-minded coach.
Yep.
A lot of defensive-minded coaches will generally say, don't make mistakes on offense. Let our defense try to win games. And it works. And it will work to get to the playoffs. To win the Super Bowl, I think you need to step it up on offense. I'm not saying you have to rely only on offense, but you have to step it up on offense. You got to let your playmakers win.
There's no doubt. I mean, but they're not quite there yet. I just don't think they have the team. I think the question comes in, Anthony, when you say step it up, I think the question is a chicken and egg argument. Is it because of the philosophy or is it because of the talent? You know what I mean? I mean, and I think there's got to be a mesh there.
I would say that one last thing. I would just say that Josh, I mean, yes, you come to England, he basically changed his game plan around.
Yep.
I still think he does better. I still think he's going to produce more if he's allowed to be a little more improvisational versus just sitting back in the pocket and trying to make accurate throws. I'm hoping, and this is my hope. I mean, to me, you don't know what the next year's playoffs is. If it's going to happen, I think you've got to take advantage of the opportunity you have. As we, this AFC is not, like, impossible to get through. I just hope that there is something else that our offense is holding back on.
Yeah.
Get him out of the pocket and let him make plays.
Maybe we'll see him run a little bit more than we did. Maybe we'll see some things like that. Yeah, you don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, that could happen. You want him to, but you want him to be a little bit more risky and not worry as much about it. And if a mistake happens, it happens because you do have a good defense, but allow that to happen and see where it goes.
I just don't think you're going to win 17 yep. 16 games up to the AFC championship.
Yep. I got you. That's a good call. And you know, I don't think you're going to see that, you know, from Sean McDermott throughout his entire coaching life. But as you point out, he is a defensive minded coach and they generally tend to be that way. But I think if you look from last year to this year, they have made progress in that area, and they have been better. I mean, they opened up the first game of the year with 18 straight passes, right, with empty formation. They went to a no-huddle later in the year. I do think that there's been a lot more of that than meets the eye, but when you're not executing, it doesn't seem like it. But it is a good debate and argument, and at some point, your offense is going to have to rely. You're going to have to rely a little bit more on it. They're going to have to, as Anthony said, step it up. And a good example is what he brought up, the Patriots game, which is last week, and the defense didn't do their job as much. They didn't do their part. They were missed tackles. They got run on, and then the offense wasn't there to bail them out, but I don't know if that's because of the play calling and philosophy or simply because of the talent. And I think it's probably a little bit of both. Ron is up next. Hi, Ron. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
New Year, buddy.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, the first game in 2020. Is it Saturday yet?
I know, right? The first game in the NFL in the year 2020. That's awesome.
That's awesome. I can't wait. I think for us, I really like our chances in this game, but I think for us to beat Houston, Josh Allen needs to come out with a quick start. In other words, I don't think we can afford to have him, you know, misfiring on passes, missing open guys. I think he needs to come out.
I don't think you can afford that at any point. I mean, whether that's the start of the game, the middle of the game, or the end of the game, I think that you can't be misfiring on passes. But sure, I mean, you want to start well, but I mean, that's just something you want to do the whole game.
Yeah. So I was a little disappointed. I wanted him to, you know, I know this game didn't mean anything, but I would like to have seen him come out and hit some nice passes. It was kind of a, you know, he had most of the starters in there, I think, and it really was kind of blah. But, you know, regardless, that was I know the game didn't mean anything. So I would have liked to seen him look a little better, I guess. But
yeah, it didn't matter to me whatsoever. It was just they just wanted to get him some reps, make sure that his week was like a normal week. And, you know, I'm the opposite. I would have been fine with just not even playing him. But, you know, it's good. Got through it. No injuries. We're all good here as far as Josh is concerned. There were a few, though, in the game. And I think Mark wants to talk on that in Tonawanda. Hi, Mark. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, so Happy New Year.
You too.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think if I had any criticism for McDermott yesterday was I felt like Ty Nesecki just played too long coming out of his injury. I want to know what you thought.
I don't know. And, you know, I saw that you wanted to talk about this on the screen. So what I did was I looked up the snap counts, and I don't see the snap counts. Unfortunately, they're usually ready by now, but the NFL game book doesn't have them right now. I don't know how long he played, but I will say this. He didn't start. He didn't play the first two series because I was down on the sidelines. And I saw him warming up after two series, and then he went in. I don't think he was in that long, to be honest with you, Mark.
Oh, gotcha. Well, it felt like it was one of those things where, you know, you recognize him that
yeah.
He was hurt the week before. Every time you see him, you know, your heart sinks a little bit because, you know, you don't want him to get hurt. But I was also surprised, Sal, I don't know if you thought, what you think about this, about Mitch Morris and the amount of reps he played, too, being injured the week before. You know, that was just, I mean, my...
But look, I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. Even though he might have been injured, he practiced fully all week, so he wasn't. He was healthy, obviously.
Right. So I was just shocked to not see him on the inactive just as a precaution. Like,
yeah, but again, like I said, but you know what they did? They activated 9 offensive linemen so that everybody could play. He went out of the game early. He was only in there a couple series.
Right, right. And I think just my last point to the other caller's credit about Josh Allen, I don't want to see the design runs. I want to see he's best when he's running you know, when things break down.
Yeah.
And
street ball, you know, hero ball, we used to call it, you know, what he was doing. But you're right. He's been good in those situations. You're right.
But all right, Sal, that's all I got for you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't have the snap counts exactly. I don't think Morse played too long. I don't think Nsekhe really played too long. I think you could debate if he even should play, but with his time off, I think they wanted to get him some reps to get his feet under him before having to come back next week, and the first game he plays is right away in the playoffs. So we'll see. We'll get an update. Hopefully him and Levi Wallace are okay. I'm a little concerned about their depth at corner if Levi Wallace is hurt. You know, that did not look good, but at the same time, maybe he just, you know, had a twist of the ankle and he's okay. We'll find out more later today. And, you know, with the game being on Saturday instead of Sunday, that's one less day to recover, which stinks. But they are thin at corner. And with Kevin Johnson rotating with Levi Wallace, at least you do have a guy, a capable guy there. But behind them, they don't really have anybody. Saran Neal had to play a little outside yesterday, I believe. They put Isaiah McKenzie at corner yesterday just so other guys didn't have to play and get hurt after Levi went down. So we'll get an update on that a little bit later. 803-0550-888-550-2550. Have an amazing opportunity for journeyman plumbers who are ready to become part of a growing small business. It's Infinity Home Plumbing, and it's Jim Lovegrove. He's great. I've watched his work, and he's a really, really great person to work for, I'm absolutely sure. So you need to give Jim a call. Nearly an infinite amount of work, and he needs a few extra hands. It's full-time work with uncapped overtime. You'll work hand-in-hand with Jim, and if you're ready to be a part of a business instead of just working for one, text PIPE to 550-550. That's P-I-P-E to 550-550 to schedule an interview. Text and data rates apply. So for a career without limits, call Infinity and be done. And also, obviously, Infinity Home Plumbing is the place to go for all of your plumbing problems to be solved, whether that's 3 a.m., 3 p.m., something you've been wanting to do, an emergency, it doesn't matter. And if you're a veteran like Jim Lovegrove and Infinity, or you're a senior citizen, he's going to give you a discount. So give him a call, 293-0066. That's 293-0066. And once again, text PIPE to 550-550 to schedule an interview. Text and data rates apply. More on the Extra Point Show when we come back after this.
You know, we've gone on the road, we've played close games. I just think it's one game seasons here on out. So we've got to have a good week of preparation. Our players need to get their rest, and then we'll take it one day at a time.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott following their loss yesterday in the regular season finale. Team prepping for the Houston Texans wildcard weekend coming up on Saturday, 4:35 p.m. start right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll have all the pregame coverage for you all day as well and on the Bills radio network. Bob in Syracuse. Hey, Bob.
Happy New Year, Sal. Just had a couple quick things I want to get your opinion on. Yeldon, number one. I really was impressed with him, especially in the screen game. And I think he adds a little bit of a different and additional dimension to the Bills' office when he's in there. And I'm just wondering, especially what happened the prior week where Gore was sat for the entire game, does it make sense to activate him? That's my first question. Second, I look closely at that New England and Ravens game just because I think that those are the quality of opponents we're going to be playing throughout. And one of the things that stood out on me is I thought both games were pretty much evenly matched. The game-killing, the drive-killing sacks that Allen took in those games is something that he really has to avoid in Houston because, you know, he's got to either get rid of the ball or they have to drop something against that heavy pressure that's going to involve Singletary and maybe Yeldon in the screen game because, you know, in several situations, the third and short or even third and long, he's taking 15-yard sacks in both those games. And I just think they can't do that. And expect to win.
No, he's got to get rid of the ball quicker sometimes. I think he does hold on to it a little bit too long sometimes. You know, Yeldon, I think there's always a case to be made for him to be active. It's hard getting him snaps, though. You want Singletary out there. I think Gore... We all see what's happening. Frank Gore is not the runner he used to be. But I think that at this point, the value he offers this team as far as having a shorthanded guy, a veteran guy, late in the game, if you need to close it out, Devin Singletary and T.J. Yeldon have put the ball on the ground this year, whether that's in preseason or regular season. And I think that's a reason he's on the team as well, aside from his just professionalism and preparation, the way he goes about things, but certainly there's an argument to be made for TJ Yeldon being included in this offense. You can't activate everybody, though. You have Yeldon, you have Duke Williams. I mean, you know, you can only activate 46 guys, and then who are you going to take off for these guys? So it's hard. It's a good spot to be, though. It's way better than saying, hey, you got to find some guys. Now, when have we been in a situation where you're like, boy, they got guys we are sitting that they should be playing because they can't get on the field? That's a great situation to be in. Just shows that the roster is so much better than it has been in years past. Jim in Williamsville on WGR. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Sal. I don't know if anybody brought this up in the first hour, but the draft capital they have moving forward, the $90 million in cap space, you look at the types of additions they've made, middle-of-the-road free agents, Hyde, Poyer, John Brown's a steal for the money you're paying him. Feliciano is a backup. Stain, I know Mitch Morse was, you know, the big ticket, highest paid center. If they continue to make those types of additions to this team, draft at the rate they've drafted as far as successful picks, you know, you've got Foster and Levi Wallace, late round picks or college free agents who are, you know, contributing and or starting your team. This is, you know, this is going to be one exciting ride going forward. And regardless of what happened Saturday evening, I think this is just the beginning, you know?
Well, I made the comment a few weeks ago. I put it like this. I said, as great as this season has been, the future is even brighter. And that's a great way to look at it. They do have a lot of money in cap space. They do have draft capital. You're right about that. $90 million, 9 draft picks in 7 rounds, 18 draft picks over the next 2 drafts, which is 14 rounds. They'll maneuver some of those either way. But, yeah, this is a team that's window is opening. They are ascending. And now this should be the expectation. Where they are this year should be the expectation every year. And, in fact, more so. Winning divisions, getting home playoff games. That's the standard that we need to start holding this team to going forward, but I think that's the standard they're going to start holding themselves to as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with another hour of the Extra Point Show. We still have Sit Up, Stand Down, Hey Buddy, going to get to the AFC and NFC playoff picture, and a whole lot more of your phone calls.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.